And now to our conversation corner. Today we welcome back to By Design Professor Paul Burton. Paul is head of the Urban Research Program at the Gold Coast campus of Griffith University. He's working on an intriguing project, looking at the urbanisation of the Gold Coast in the way one would look at the characteristics of an adolescent. So, things like rapid growth, developing sexuality, growing analytical capacity, and egocentrism. Fascinating and provocative, hence our interest. Paul, welcome back to By Design.
Great to be with you again, Alan.
Gold Coast growing and being managed as one would an adolescent. This catches our attention. You see the Gold Coast as a place under construction, growing at a fast pace, a popular place, a new kind of city. If so, what kind of city is this?
Well, I've lived in it for the last 4 years, and it's an extraordinary city. It's a new city. It only came into existence formally in 1959 when the old Gold Coast Town Council was renamed. And in 95, it merged with another shire to become the City of the Gold Coast. It's now home to 500,000 people, while almost 4 million people visit every year. It's the sixth largest city in the country, population larger than Tasmania, and it's run by the second largest local government council in the country. Now, some people have said that there are only two major cities that have emerged in Australia in the last century, the Gold Coast and Canberra. And if you compare them, I would suggest to you that perhaps Canberra is a city that was born middle-aged, whereas the Gold Coast is a city that is going through its adolescent phase at the moment. It's outgrowing many of its skins and aspects.
Oh, we have a lot of listeners in Canberra. I think you've probably lost them now. So the Gold Coast, I mean, what area does it take in? Just so we can get a sense of the geography you're working with.
Yeah, well, it's spread over a pretty large area, about 1,500 square kilometres. It's got 70 kilometres of coastline, 50-odd kilometres of which are beachfront. But it's also, somewhat uniquely for a major Australian city, it's got one of the highest proportions of land that is under native vegetation that isn't actually built up. Around 50% of the city is unbuilt up at present. And in fact, the city is expanding the amount of land that's under native vegetation. So it's a very contrasting city between the kind of familiar high-rise coastal strip and then a rather suburban hinterland interspersed with a lot of green.
There are many constructs for cities, many ideas about urbanism. Adolescence, of course, is a construct too. It's one that emerged in the early 20th century to describe a new identity for young people. The words that come to mind are brashness, self-confidence, insensitivity, identity crisis. Adolescent cities. So are these new as well, conceptually, a new way of understanding urbanism and the shifts that are happening?
I think so. I mean, urban scholars, people like me who study cities almost for a living, we look at cities in a variety of ways. So if you look on the shelves of libraries, you'll find books on fractured cities, on mongrel cities or mega cities, world cities, fluid cities. Many of these ways of looking at cities, though, are concerned in some respects with the life cycle of cities. But my view is that a lot of those analyses tend to focus on mature, established cities. So they recognize that cities go through stages in their development, but they tend to focus on cities that have been around for a long time and are at a relatively advanced stage of their development. So we think about the kind of Rust Belt cities in America or Middle Eastern cities that have been abandoned thousands of years ago. Whereas in the Gold Coast, we've got a young city that I think is just now starting to emerge from its kind of childhood phase and to change and to grow up. And I just thought that would be an interesting way to look at that process of growing up and some of the growing pains that this particular city and indeed cities like that elsewhere in the world will be going through.
We were talking earlier to Bart Lutzma about the fate of the CBD. Does the Gold Coast have a traditional centre? Does it have a CBD that we would understand as a CBD? Or is this, Is this shift away from a central area a part of what defines the young city and separates it from the older, more established European and Australian cities?
Well, it's certainly the case that the Gold Coast doesn't have a single CBD, partly because it's a city, if you like, defined as much administratively as by a kind of natural form that we associate with traditional cities. So it doesn't have that historic core that we expanded out from. You've got this coastal strip that runs from Surfers Paradise down to Broadbeach, which is characterized by some very high-rise buildings. But it's a focus for tourism business rather than other kinds of business. So there isn't a single dominant place that you would say, this is the center of the city, this is the heart of the city, this is the obvious place to go and meet in and to do business in. You'd go to different places if you wanted to do different things. And that's perhaps an increasingly significant characteristic of some cities around the world. You think of Los Angeles and perhaps some of the rapidly growing and sprawling cities in China or Africa. Mm. I think it will change a bit because at the moment we've just started building a light rail, and that is going to transform the urban form of the city and connect its tourist heart with what I guess we like to think of as perhaps the brain of the city, the so-called knowledge precinct where Griffith University is based, mm-hmm. where I work, and where there's a new hospital being built. So we'll have a modern, up-to-date physical connection between, if you like, the heart and the brain. So that will turn it into a rather different city.
This is By Design on ABC Radio National. I'm Alan Saunders, and today in our Conversation Corner we're joined by Paul Burton, Professor of Urban Management and Planning and Head of the Urban Research Programme at Griffith University. Links at abc.net.au/rn/bydesign. Paul, if cities can be born, as you suggest is happening here, you have slightly alluded to this, but can the opposite happen? Can cities die? What cities are dying, and what has made them or is making them die?
Well, certainly some cities have died. There are remains of places that were once hugely significant and powerful urban centres. I mean, if you think of somewhere like Ur, that was the Sumerian capital, which is now in Iraq, or if you think of somewhere like Tikal, which was the Mayan capital in what is present-day Guatemala, they don't exist. They don't function as cities anymore. I mean, there are archaeological remains that we can go and visit, but they've ceased to exist. They ceased to exist for a number of reasons. I mean, typically because they overexploited their surrounding countryside in some way, so they could no longer feed their populations, or they were invaded and their, you know, conquerors destroyed the cities. We if we think we don't do that anymore, then, you know, think of what happened to Sarajevo recently, or think of what's happened on more than one occasion in the last 100 or even 50 years to Beirut. So sometimes we try and or we look as though we're trying to destroy our cities, but it's more often the case that the economic rationale for our cities will cease to exist. So there are places that perhaps didn't actually die out, but it started to look a bit touch and go when the Rust Belt cities, you know, places like Detroit or Liverpool, or, you know, coal settlements in the Ruhr Valley.
Yes.
Once you stop digging coal, manufacturing steel or building cars, then cities can often die out.
One interesting area of your research is you're looking at the sexuality of a city. I've never thought of a city as having a sexual identity, but you suggest this is something to consider with the Gold Coast.
Yes, let me just share with you the fact that on Sunday, as a part of my research, of course, I was in Surfers Paradise to see the claiming of a new Guinness-recognized world record, which was for the largest parade of bikini-clad women in the world. So 357 bikini-clad women paraded through Surfers Paradise in the heart of the Gold Coast on Sunday morning and broke the world record.
It's hard work, but somebody's got to do it.
Absolutely. Now, maybe to our listeners in Canberra, they may say, well, that would never happen here. It wouldn't. But it's almost kind
cold.
Of
normal.
Absolutely. But it's not surprising for the Gold Coast. The Gold Coast and the bikini have always gone together. If you go back to the 1950s, and in fact, I stood next to the illustrious Paula Stafford, the woman who in fact invented the bikini, and she said to me, you know, when I first did this for the first time, being allowed to wear a bikini on a beach here was slightly problematic. You know, they didn't like it. Now we've got 357 people breaking a record. So that kind of, if you like, kind of titillation has always been associated with the Gold Coast. So after Paula Stafford invented the bikini, people started wearing them on the Gold Coast beaches. Bruce Small introduced the Meter Maids, who are still there in their gold lamé bikinis. He then took bikini-clad women to Canberra to promote the virtues of the Gold Coast. So there's always been that kind of connection. But what I would suggest is that it's a somewhat kind of juvenile preoccupation with scantily clad young women. And there isn't, if you like, perhaps a more mature, there isn't yet what you might say is a more mature manifestation of sexual, liberated sexual expression. We have schoolies where young people behave badly. We don't have Mardi Gras. It's a bit like the mood captured by, you know, you imagine in English, the naughty English seaside postcard. I mean, that's the Gold Coast is the equivalent of that.
Okay, well, if you want mature sexuality, you can go to the sex shops of Canberra. Professor Paul Burton, thank you. Links to Paul's work at the Urban Research Programme at Griffith University at abc.net.au/rn/bydesign. There you'll also find Paul's chat with us about what might have happened if we'd been settled by the French, which attracted a lot of interest. And if you're interested in the idea of an adolescent city, you might like to drop us a line on our website and tell us whether you think your neck of the woods is a grown-up place, and if not, why not? The show is produced by Jan Ryan and Mark Wakeley. Anne-Marie de Bettencourt is the sound engineer, and I'm Alan Saunders.